welcome to Kevin JJ's Movie Mania Podcast, where Kevin and JJ discuss everything and anything they can about the movies they love and sometimes about the movies they hate. This is episode 5, and this week JJ and I will tackle our second Deserted Island picks. What year will come up? What movies will we choose? Find this all out and sit back and relax and enjoy. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. This is our second installment of the Deserted Island movies. We're going to do a little something different to make sure JJ and I don't pick the same movie. We're going to do the random number generator to choose which one of us, in the event that we choose the same movie to save, it'll tell us which one has to concede their movie and choose something else. So, I'll just do that right now. And JJ has to concede if we both have the same movie in a particular year.
So, how do I know you didn't just, you know, make that happen?
Yeah, we'll see.
I'll trust you.
So, we expanded the years from 2013 to 1970, and I think we'll stick with those years for... you know, this segment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'll pick our year and we'll get started.
Oh boy! Right,
so here it comes. Random number generator between 1970 and 2013 is 1978.
Okay.
All right, so the year's 1978, and we will start with JJ's Deserted Island pick.
Okay, well, looking at my list, looking at 1978, I only had one choice.
Okay.
In thinking about 1978, there's probably only three or four movies of note that I can even think of, because I've seen an awful lot of movies from that year, but none really, you know, stuck out to me. So
we're going to have the same movie.
Oh, no.
But go ahead.
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
We'll see.
If I were stranded on a desert isle... and I could only bring one movie with me that I would enjoy thoroughly on the desert isle from 1978, to only pick one, it would be Grease.
That's what I chose.
Boo! Damn it! So, since I cannot discuss Grease, thanks a lot, Kev.
Sorry. Rules are rules.
I'll
concede next time.
Sure. Okay. I would have to resort to probably the number two movie would be for me, Halloween.
What's the matter? Can I get your ghost, Bob? All right. Come on. Where's my beer? Can't you answer me? Okay, he'll answer me. Are you weird? Well, I'm gonna call Lori. I wanna know where Paul and Annie are. This is going nowhere.
Finally. Hello? Hello? All right, Annie. First I get your famous chewing, now I get your famous squealing. Annie, are you all right? Are you fooling around again? I'll kill you if this is a joke.
Yep, Very good.
Would that be your second?
No, it would not.
Okay. If it couldn't be Greece, I would bring Halloween. Basically because even though there have been, you know, tons of quote-unquote horror movies dating back to, you know, God, probably the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, whatnot, I think that Halloween is not only iconic, but it's just, it affects me when I watch it. Since I was a kid and I watched this, of course, again, as a child, you put yourself in the shoes of the characters you're watching. And I couldn't imagine that first scene where young Michael Myers, you realize that he's the one who does the first killing in the first scene.
Yeah.
And then it kind of switches gears into years later. And I think the movie's strongest asset, there are many assets. I mean, the direction is great. Jamie Lee Curtis is like the perfect female heroine. It's scary as shit. The
and
score.
It seemed to almost create a genre.
Yes, it did. Yeah, and you're right, because I loved the initial Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street that came out in the early 80s, which you're right, it probably came straight from the whole Halloween
yarn. Single relentless slasher killer movie.
Right, which now, I watch them now, or the ones that are made now, or the ones made throughout the 90s and 2000s, and I just think they pale completely to these original ones.
I agree.
But, yeah, Halloween has so many strong suits, so many assets. I can think of its unsettling musical score, obviously. And but I think its strongest attribute, to be honest, is the use of the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And the use of the setting, the home. It's like your typical suburban neighborhood, meaning the fact that this happens there, it can happen absolutely anywhere. And, you know, the houses, kind of like middle-class neighborhood, the trees. There's that one amazing scene where I think is it just one or two female characters are walking down the sidewalk, and you kind of see Michael Myers behind some shrubbery, and then you don't see him, and then you do see him, and...
Right.
Oh, God, it's
well,
just... Yeah,
well, that's what I was going to say. Like, you say the presence of this neighborhood is great of making it accessible, and everyone feels like that could be my neighborhood, but it also prepares a very natural, like, maze that...
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands of hiding spots and thousands of ways to get stuck and trapped or escape. Yeah. Or, you know, it's very, you know, especially once it gets dark, it's, you know, he could be anywhere, you can hide anywhere. It's a very effective set piece.
Totally. Absolutely. That's exactly what I mean. You know, there's trees everywhere, there's shrubs everywhere of differing heights and sizes. The houses are those kind of like, aren't they like colonial houses, are they? You know, like with like front porches in the front. And it's just, like you said, it's just, it could be your neighborhood. And it looks just like, you know, middle America. And that was very unsettling to me. And then it's just outright scary as shit. I mean, her hiding in the closet upstairs, him trying to break through the slats of the door. I could go on and on. If I want to be scared shitless on a desert isle, take 1978's Halloween. And there probably wouldn't be too many other horror movies I would bring. So if I was to bring one to represent that genre, that would be it.
No, I agree, because it has a very Jaws feel to it. Mm-hmm. That there isn't that many slashing deaths and stuff like that. It's just kind of a relentless anticipation for what's going to happen.
A relentless horror of what could happen, yes.
You know, the body count is not huge in this movie compared to what a slasher movie is these days, which if it's...
And that's why it's so good.
Right, exactly. It's like a singular fear for a singular life. And you know, that anticipation just makes it completely terrifying. I remember there was a scene, I don't even remember the specific part, but the tension is so heavy, and then a window breaks. And I just jumped 3 feet in the air, and my heart was racing because it just totally took me by complete surprise. And I always say my favorite thing to have done to me at the movies is to be scared, because it happens so rarely.
Exactly. We are so conditioned. We've seen so many horror movies in our lifetime, and we've seen so many comedies and dramas. It really takes something special to get an actual reaction out of us now. We feel like we've seen it all. Nothing is surprising anymore. And yet, when done well...
It's really done well.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be my choice.
Very good pick. All right. So, as we discussed before, my choice is Grease. Kind of an obvious pick. I mean, it's almost universally loved, this movie.
Yeah.
It's just so energetic and almost effortless in how much fun it is.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Travolta is just, you know, playing, like, goofing off almost, like, almost riffing on his Saturday Night Fever thing. And it just...
Oh, I forgot that was only 2 years before Grease.
Yeah.
So he was really fresh on the scene.
Yeah, and it just, I think it was Saturday Night Fever, and then it was like, yeah, well, this just makes sense. Let's just make him Danny Zuko.
Yeah.
You know, it just totally fit. And, you know, every time that's one of those movies that if I turn it on and, you know, that opening sequence with the animation is on, and
yeah,
I will just sit there and watch it. And there, you know, there's not that many musicals that can do that. A lot of musicals are very heavy-handed and have very serious, subject matter and stuff like that. And it makes it sometimes difficult to enjoy. You know, easy to appreciate, difficult to enjoy.
It's a great movie because when it came out in 79, it was a hit. And when we likely watched it in the mid to late 80s or early 90s, it was a hit with people our generation.
Right.
It's been a hit in the 2000s. It's been a hit now in the 2010s. There's just something, like you said, universal about it that appeals to anyone, any age, what point of their life they're watching it. And...
And when it was made in 1978, it was already a period piece.
That's true, because it was from the 50s or the early 60s?
50s.
Okay.
Mid-50s, I believe.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives it that that timeless quality, because it's like the archetypical 50s setup with the...
Yes.
With the leather jackets and the hot rod cars and, you know, poodle skirts and all that kind of nonsense.
Yeah,
which is funny because my backup pick, if I was the one to concede, was Animal House.
Oh, okay.
Which is the same thing. Made in 1978 and takes place in the mid-50s.
That's right.
So.
Okay.
It's kind of an interesting, comment.
Yeah, that is weird. That's very strange, actually.
Yeah.
I think you remember... when you and I were in high school, 94, 95, 96, 97, again, attesting to the strength of Grease, you know, we were in choir, we did the plays, and every single year, the collective us in the music department would say, we want to do Grease, can't we do Grease, Grease, Grease? And of course, we could never do it because I guess they wouldn't give out the copyright, right?
Right, exactly, because it's just one of those things that... there's, you know, obviously there's Danny and Sandy, but mm-hmm. there's so many good, like, stories, like, buried beneath that, like the the Kinnicky and the and the
what's her name? She the teenage pregnancy.
Yeah, what, why can't I think of her name?
I don't know. I'm blanking.
It's Rizzo. Duh.
Rizzo.
You know, the whole national bandstand thing, the whole beauty school dropout thing. There's so many, you know, different points up to the movie.
Memorable set pieces and memorable characters.
And one thing I love about the movie that it takes place over an entire school year, it is so perfectly paced.
Seamless.
It is seamlessly paced. Like, I mean, when it opens up and it's their first day to the moment that they're dancing at their graduation carnival.
You feel like you've felt the year.
Yeah, there's nothing drags, nothing races. It's not, you know, you don't feel like they skip too fast. You don't feel like they're taking forever.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's an absolute...
One of my pet peeves of movies that do that, where, you know, they try to jam in a year, sometimes things happen or characters say or do something and you're left wondering, well, that makes no sense. Why would they do or say that? Because, like you said, maybe they've skipped forward too much or they left out something that was necessary for it to make sense. And in this story, like you said, it was seamless. Everything made sense. You felt the year. You felt like you didn't miss a beat.
Yeah. And it goes along without, like, you know, 2 months later, or they really kind of, there's no acknowledgement that we're passing through a school year, but once they're graduating, you're like, oh, you know what, a lot just happened. You know, I just saw them go through a lot, and I could see that all fitting in a year, so they don't even draw attention to the fact that a whole year is passing.
Right. And I think this was, like, the first time anyone had seen Olivia Newton-John.
Right.
Obviously she has some sort of singing career in Australia or elsewhere before this, but she was just the perfect little blonde poodle skirt wearing, you know, pixie girl for this role. She totally complimented John Travolta and vice versa. You know, the perfect couple for this movie.
Oh yeah, no, she
the chemistry
she was, great.
Was fantastic.
Let me see her. Yeah, I mean her filmography. Wait, is that like music?
Probably.
Oh yeah, that's different. But yeah, no, I agree.
I can't think of anything with her except for Grease, her music, and her workout videos.
Yeah, I mean there's nothing really. I mean it was Grease and Xanadu.
Right. Oh, good lord.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, this put her on the map, and she is forever known from Greece. And the dancing, fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Think back to that whole set piece in the school auditorium. It's just so engaging. You want to leap off the couch and start dancing right along, hoping that you can actually dance anywhere near as good as these people. But of course, we can't. But
right. Well, I was gonna say
you want to leap to your feet.
But the thing is Travolta dances rings around everyone in the cast.
Yeah.
I mean, people are dancing fine, but you just see him so effortlessly. And it seems like everyone else, you could see them kind of counting in their head almost.
Yes.
And he's just winging it, and just it's that much more engaging because you can just see how much fun he's having with the music.
He was very lanky. He was very limber, like almost like a Gumby. He had like a Gumby quality to his stature and his dancing ability. And yeah, you're right.
But and then, you know, since we're talking about the music, I mean, the music is stuff that, you know, throughout our childhood. I mean, by the time we were probably 8 years old, we knew the soundtrack to Grease by heart.
Yep.
It's everything is just fun and bouncy and enjoyable. Like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, when something, like, you hear a story about a breakup or something like that, you know, Aaron or I will just, like, break into, like, standing at the drive-in. Because it just, you know, it's one of those movies where, you know, they tell the story and express their feelings through song in an almost satirical, goofy way, like slapsticky.
Yeah.
And it works every single time.
Right. This movie was like lightning caught in a bottle.
Right.
There's nothing that was like it before. Nothing different filmmakers have tried to capture what Grease has, and it's just nothing. There's nothing that compares.
No, I don't think, I agree with you. I really don't think there's a musical that's ever been before or since that's that
goofball fun.
Goofball
and
fun. Yeah.
Genuinely goofball fun. Like you said earlier, nothing was put on, nothing was strained. It just was.
Yep. And it just all came together in a perfect package.
Yep.
And I would certainly bring it to a deserted island because I've been watching this movie for 34 years. Never gets old to me. It's almost one of those things I'm kind of embarrassed because, what's on TV? The Simpsons are on, Seinfeld's on. Oh, Grease is on TBS. I'll watch that.
I'm going to watch that, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, geez.
Exactly.
All right, so that's our picks for 1978. We both chose Grease, but with our new rule, JJ had to concede Grease to me.
Yeah. That's okay because, you know, I can always just build a canoe. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And paddle over to the pot.
But, you know, you do get a lot of, you would get a lot of enjoyment out of Halloween because that is not a weak pick whatsoever.
Thank you very much.
All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed, and, you know, so that's the second year down. We've done 1986, 1978.
Very good.
We'll see what happens next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Alrighty, that's it. The Deserted Island shows are pretty short and sweet, but we hope you enjoyed it. Do us a favor and leave us a review on our iTunes page. Just search for Kevin JJ's Movie Mania Podcast, or visit our website, kevinandjjmovies.weebly.com, and, you know, leave us something on our forums, or send us an email, and let us know what you think of the site, and what you think of our podcast. All right, we'll see you next time.